this episode of The Commercial Break.
Dude, I've never been so mortified in my life. And I'm like, it happens, whatever, it happens. Yeah. Like, who cares? And he's like, yeah, you say that in front of a perfect 10 who's like, you know, like giggling, you know, like giggling while she's doing this. And I'm like, okay, all right, whatever. So he gets called back and the doctor says, the doctor's like, hey, you know, first there's a nurse and he's got to go through the whole thing, right? And he says, it's like another, you know, 9 out of 10, it's all nurse. And she says, don't worry, he's the best in town. He's going to get you right fixed up. There's a lot of different things that we can do. So the doctor comes in. Doctor says, hey, what? Tell me what's going on. Well, you know, I have this lover and this, and he goes, oh, I know, Evelyn.
She sends all of her guys to me.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. You know, I have to tell you, I'm in the office in New York last week, and last week I was talking about how Claude has helped me be a more proficient in my job.
Yes.
And I was sharing that for a day I was kind of like running through some financial stuff about the business with Claude. Mm-hmm. and how that experience was. So I was just talking about it, not good, bad, or indifferent. I wasn't giving any specifics, but my boss walks in and he's like, so you're working with Claude on the financials? And I was like, how the fuck did you know that? And he goes, I was working out listening to your show. So we're immediately changing the name and RSS feed so that my boss can't hunt me down.
That's
here,
right.
On the commercial break. This has got to be the tree of trust here.
Yes.
Yeah, no, he knows, of course. Yeah. Actually, I was right. I wrote a proposal and I spoke to Claude and I said, make it sound pretty, right?
Yes,
and I was just
exactly.
Like, make it sound pretty. And my boss was like, dude, a little less Claudie. We're going to get a little less Claudie on our proposals. I said, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So then, you know, thanks for making me double the work.
Right.
So then last
you're
night.
You're doing the work and then Claude's redoing it and then you're redoing it.
I know. So now I'm redoing Claude's work. Yeah. I'm like, okay, Claude, I'm sorry. Good job, but I got to use my own words. So I had to go typing again. Actually, I spoke it. But anyway, Claude's still helping, you know.
It's a little assistant.
It's a little helper.
For now.
Now, we were talking about how OpenAI had one of their agents go rogue, mm-hmm. in a sandbox environment where they were testing its capabilities to see how wild it would get. And it got wild.
It did.
It jumped the shark. Jumped out. It went somewhere else. It attacked another website. And in that same week, which was last week as you're listening to this, in that same week, all four major AI companies then disclosed that they had also had their agents jump out of the sandbox, mm-hmm. and do something very similar. So the AI bots, the AI agents, are now planning the takeover of the world, and I can only hope they're better than the people that are running it.
That's
right
true.
Now. That's
true.
All I can hope. That's all I can hope.
Right?
When I'm an AI slave, I hope that they're more, you know.
They'll be just and fair.
Yeah, I hope they're just and fair. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be. I don't think an AI agent, a computer, necessarily has the. I think the worst case scenario. There's a great podcast, by the way, called The Last Invention, and I work with these guys.
Okay.
And The Last Invention is about the last invention. It's based on a book that was written called The Last Invention, AI, The Last Invention, mm-hmm. because AI essentially makes everyone obsolete. And one of the nightmare scenarios in The Last Invention is that AI decides, much like we look at ants and step on them, or see them as a nuisance or an annoyance, just something we don't even take into consideration, that AI will see us the same way. We're a nuisance, we're an annoyance, we don't need to be here, so they just kind of phase us out over time. So, you know, good times.
Yeah.
Good times, kids.
Yeah.
Good times. Anyway, go listen to The Last Invention if you want to, you know, have nightmares.
Right.
It's great, actually. It's great. And, you know, The Last Invention takes a left turn in some of the final episodes. It's a limited series. They have Steve Bannon on. And I'm like, Steve fucking Bannon, what are you doing? But to my great surprise, Steve Bannon is one of the common sense thinkers around AI and controls for AI. He believes that AI is going way too fast, way too far, mm-hmm. way too quickly, and that we need to put guardrails on it immediately before we can't undo what...
Yeah, exactly.
We might already, we may already be at that
right.
point. But Steve Bannon is a real common sense thinker when it comes to in only AI.
I mean,
don't consider me a fan of Steve Bannon, but I can appreciate that even people that I don't normally care for their ideology or their train of thought can have a good idea here and there. So
yeah, exactly.
So there you go. Anyway, go listen to The Last Invention. It's a great show by Andy Mills and Matt Bowl and the team over at Longview Productions. Okay. I want to talk about something very serious, and I want to get your take on it. And
okay.
This usually is where I start getting goofy, but I'm not going to get goofy here. Have you seen the coverage about Perez Hilton?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this? Did you watch the video?
I did not.
Okay.
I mean, I know you said you watched it.
I
had a friend that watched it, and I was like, I haven't seen it, and I don't want to see it. Because, I mean, from what I've heard, it's
there's no reason.
Very, very disturbing.
It's highly graphic.
Yeah.
And
it's
highly
graphic. So sad. I mean, that he got to that point. And what does that say then about our society as a whole? You know, he had all this fame before, and now maybe he doesn't have that. And was that part of it? I don't know. I didn't realize he had children either.
He has kids. He's married.
Yeah.
And apparently, so if you're not up to speed, I mean, I'm sure most people already have heard this story,
yeah.
but Perez Hilton went live on TikTok last Thursday or Friday night, and he was taking a machete, a very sharpened machete, to his body. And that's what I'll say. It almost looked fake at first. It almost was like he was using like movie blood.
Yeah.
That was my assumption when I first started seeing the video, but I didn't catch it live. I saw it shortly thereafter, and there wasn't a lot of context to it. It's mm-hmm. like Perez Hilton crashes out on TikTok. And I thought, oh my God, he's covered himself in this ketchup or fake blood or mm-hmm. whatever. And he's acting like an idiot, pretending to cut himself. But very quickly you realize that's not at all what's going on. It's very real.
What was the context around him doing that? Did he say, because again, I haven't watched it and I haven't, like, he just got live on there and started doing it?
Yeah.
Or was he saying?
He was saying he wanted to unalive himself is
okay.
what he said. That this is what you all wanted. You know, you wanted me to do this live. You wanted me to hurt myself. Mm. Here I am. The funny thing is while he's slicing himself with this machete, he is naked slicing himself with the machete everywhere. There's not a part of his body that was untouched. And I don't need to get any more graphic than that.
God.
But it was disturbing.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. I don't even know why I watched the fucking thing, to be honest with you. I should have turned it off the second it started. But at some point, you're just like, holy shit, is this really happening on TikTok? And we'll get into the whole TikTok angle on this in a second. But, you know, Perez Hilton made a living basically being a terrible human being to anyone that was in the media spotlight. He calls himself the first influencer. He's probably right about that. He was very well connected. He was very famous. He was very powerful at one point because people feared the retribution of Perez Hilton online. While all of us looky-loos were taking the time to go to whatever that website was, Perez was getting the dirt from anybody and everybody and then coming with the receipts. And that included celebrities' children and celebrities at their worst and in their most vulnerable moments. He didn't care. He was pasting it all over the place. Perez really was a terrible human being. I want to make no bones about this. He started, I think, a lot of this like obsessive celebrity culture that we have, just making sure that we can get in every sordid detail of every person's life. It's like someone is human, they're for human consumption once they become famous. And I think even though it existed long before Perez, kind of this tabloidy stuff,
right?
Perez took it to a whole new level
he
and
did.
He brought it into the 21st century on the internet. And he never stopped.
Yeah. I mean,
and he never apologized.
And he wasn't even just like saying, this is what happened. He was making all of these horrible comments and making t-shirts about it.
He was selling t-shirts.
There was just all of this horrible stuff.
He was not a good dude. Okay. So then fast forward, and about a decade ago, Perez just kind of fell off the map for a while. I think people got sick of kind of the shtick of Perez being this kind of like smart ass gay guy who, you know, was making fun of all the celebrities. I think it got boring. Like everybody who has 15 minutes of fame, it was over. And maybe he had a little longer than 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So about a decade ago, he finds a boyfriend, they get married, they have children, and Perez starts to turn the corner a little bit, including and up to apologizing for past behavior, sharing that he was really embarrassed by the things he had said and done when he was a younger man, and just going on this, you know, apology tour, mm-hmm. basically, and showing up on certain reality shows. Like, remember when Laguna Beach came back? Like, it came back and had, like, a second season or whatever, mm-hmm. or The Hills or whatever it was. Perez was showed up at one of those events like that they filmed, and people were just like, because The Hills got it from him and Laguna Beach got it from him, and they got it bad, and people were pissed, and mm-hmm. like what was that girl's name, I can't remember her name, the girl that was in I'll think of it in a second, but anyway, he had this like notorious fight with one of the people on The Hills, and people were kind of, I think, reluctant to bring him into the fold, mm-hmm. like to say everything's okay, right?
And yeah, they've been burned.
Yeah, they've been burned. And some people, after this whole incident happened last Friday, some celebrities have no sympathy for Perez. They really don't. I do, because mental health is not a joke.
Yes, correct.
And when you have a psychotic break and it's live on camera, you know, some people might say he got his comeuppance. I don't know. That's up to you. That's a judgment call for you to make. But so Perez kind of turns the corner over the last decade. Then about 6 months ago, I follow Perez on Instagram, not because I'm a fan of Perez, but because this version of Perez was a softer version of Perez, and he was talking about some stuff that was going on in Hollywood. Okay, if it's interesting.
So he was still doing the Hollywood stuff, because I haven't kept up with him in years.
But a much different version of it, mm-hmm. like a more sympathetic version of it, a more kind of investigative version of it. Mm-hmm. He just seemed to be a friendlier Perez, right? And you can tell, like, he has children. When you have children, things just change.
Yeah, that's true.
So about 6 months ago, Perez falls off the universe. No one knows where he is. Now, I wouldn't know if Perez was missing or not. Like, I don't seek out his content. If it shows up on my algorithm and it's interesting, I'll watch whatever he's talking about. But I didn't know. I had no idea. 3 months ago, he pops back online. He was sick. He took some antibiotics. He didn't take it with food. It caused the stomach lining to tear, caused an ulcer.
That's right.
He got sepsis. He went through like a 3-month battle to survive, live. Basically, he was really, really sick. So he shows up 3 months ago with tubes in his nose and looking terrible and gaunt and really looking dead, if I'm being honest. And he explains all of this. He explains what happened. And he says, the only reason that I got through this was because I accepted Jesus Christ as my savior. And so now Perez version V3 is a Bible beating, God fearing, Jesus toting, Jesus loving, religious zealot, essentially. And every time that I saw Perez in the last 3 months, all he was talking about, if it wasn't about a celebrity, was about how God saved him and Jesus was the way and he is the light and he is the Lord. So really seemed like Perez was maybe starting to unwind a little bit in a way, because it wasn't normal, like, Bible-beating type stuff. This was really intense. He was crying a lot. It seemed like Perez was maybe coming undone a little mm-hmm. bit. So then on Friday, something happened in the house with the children, and the husband left and called the police and said his husband wasn't well, and please check on him, you know, a welfare check, essentially.
Right.
And they did, and Perez said, everything's okay, I'm fine, whatever. And then hours later showed up on TikTok.
Jeez.
Already sliced and diced, but then doing this for another 30 minutes. This thing is like goes on for like 27 minutes. I don't know exactly how long, but I think 27 minutes.
Yeah, it goes at least 15. Or that people were seeing it and trying to contact.
Like, a lot of people contacted Miami-Dade police. And they asked to go to Perez's house and check on him. And they did. And it took 4 hours to talk him down. 4 hours while he's bleeding out, essentially. And so I think this was a really critical situation. The Miami-Dade Police Department apparently handled it as well as they could. And they got him out of the house eventually and got him help and seek. Now, failure on TikTok's behalf, they did flag it. But the person who was supposed to take it down didn't think it was real. So they just, you know, but listen, TikTok's so sensitive to all fucking manners of things to let this go on for this length of time is kind of insane. And it is showing me that I'm making the absolute correct decision by never letting my children have a social media account.
God.
I mean, honestly.
That's what my friend said,
too. You can just see that on TikTok. It just pop up.
Yeah.
And hundreds of thousands of people apparently were watching.
Mm.
Perez, at some point, joined another TikTok Live that was going on. It was TikTok Live with three different accounts that were watching Perez, and then Perez popped into their account. He, like, asked to join their account. And these people, I mean, honestly, like, not one of them put the phone down, turned off the live, and called Miami-Dade. They all just gawked. Now, to be fair, they were saying, you know, oh, Perez, don't do that. You got to get help, blah, 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 blah. But they were also treating it, like, in a way that I did not think was befitting of the emergent nature of the situation. It's like, if these people were in a real emergency, which this was, they would not have the brain cells to do the things that need to be done to save it. It's like people who are videotaping, like someone getting the shit beaten out of them,
mm-hmm.
or an emergency situation where clearly they could have been of help, and they're just standing there gawking with their iPhone for the views. We have to start, like, paying attention as a society and having a little bit more empathy. What's going on through that viewfinder is not as important as what's going on outside the viewfinder.
Yeah, in reality, real time.
Okay, so that's my little moral clause there. But the reality is that, like, Perez got the help that he needed because people on the live clearly saw what was going on. They knew where he lived. I don't know how they knew he lived in Miami or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but they called the Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office, and the Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office quickly got there and eventually brought the situation under control. But I just, like, I have empathy for Perez. I have empathy for his children. I hate to see anybody go through a mental health situation like that. It's just, like, a terrible event that is another scarring event that we're all seeing online. It's like this collective sickness that we all have. I think of another one as, like, the Charlie Kirk assassination. Like, just it goes around the internet so fast and so furious, and we're never thinking about, like, there's actual children. Like, there's children whose dad this is.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to see this when they grow up. I mean, just a terrible thing. I hope Perez gets the help that he needs.
I do, too. I'm from what I've heard, he's still in the hospital, I guess.
I think he's going to be in the hospital for a long time. I mean, I don't know how you recover from something. Like, physically, months of recovery. And that's, I just can't even imagine all the different things that, like, physical things that would happen, slicing and dicing yourself with a machete like that. It's just awful. But Jeff got his tooth taken out, so how's he feeling?
He did. He's feeling
all right.
Better.
Shout out to Jeff.
Yes.
Let's talk about Perez. Why did we not have Jeff's tooth extraction live on TikTok?
Oh God, yeah, we should have been filming.
Oh my God, poor guy.
Yeah, you never know. Those dental emergencies. Everything was fine. He just went to the dentist a couple months ago.
That's how it happens.
Things were fine. Then he got a toothache last week and was like, something doesn't feel right, and it kept getting worse. And said, okay, we got to get to the dentist. And got in there, and they're like, yep, it is cracked, and it's cracked so badly that we're going to have to take it out completely. And it was, like, the second to last molar in the very back.
Which is the worst. I mean, I guess it would have been worse had it been a tooth you could see, right?
A
tooth that was, like, visible. Like, you don't want him to be gimpy tooth Jeff, right? Just walking around like my daughter with a big tooth
gap.
But still, like, the deeper back in your mouth it is, the worst pain is going to be associated with it.
It was a weekend, for sure.
Oh, man, I really felt for Jeff.
Yeah, no, me too. I was doing the best I could to take care of him.
Nurse Cratchit over there.
Fixing the mashed potatoes and the soft things to eat. And he's just like,
Car accidents and tooth emergencies.
You never planned for them.
Nope. That's right. You never planned for them.
This was not on the bingo card.
No, wasn't. But it does happen. And, you know, it's like when you crack a tooth, there's only one or two outcomes. And that's, we can root canal it and cement it back together and give you a couple more years with the tooth, or we got to take it out.
Yep.
That's what my last root canal, I fought tooth and nail. I just kept going back and saying, try and fix it.
I remember that. Yeah. That was just a few months ago.
It's still got the last time I dealt with it, but it's still got a crack in it. And she keeps telling me, she's like, I filled the inside of it with cement, but there's no guarantees here. Like, you know, when you when it breaks, you're going to know it because your gum's just going to get like totally inflamed. And she said, you know, there's going to be pain and it's going to happen. Eventually it will, you will bite on something where it will just break. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. Thanks for sharing my future with me. She's like a crystal
ball.
And
that's why you don't eat the, what were those? Crackle.
Oh, the sweet tarts?
Yes.
The Smarties, yes. The sweet tarts? Yeah, the sweet tarts.
That's why you don't eat those anymore.
I know. Those sweet tarts, I kept on chewing them like they were like candy.
They're candy.
And they That's right. And they are candy. And it just was doing so much damage to that fucking tooth. Yeah. Listen, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, if you know what I mean. I try. I do my best. But anyway. All right. Thanks for joining us. It's a rare Monday recording here. I also understand... I want to talk a little technical stuff for you just for a second. I also understand that some of you may not have seen episodes popping out last week. We have a new hosting platform that we've been on for like the last 7 months. So you think I would have understood how to work it so far, but I made a mistake in the scheduling of those and I scheduled them for next week in September to come out. So, So you're going to get a couple additional episodes this week, but you're here with us for the next couple of hours, streaming youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And of course you can catch us on all podcast players. Please follow, like, and subscribe, share if you dare and share if you dare and you care. What we're going to do here
is... Sharing's caring.
Sharing is caring. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
2 and 2.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of The Commercial Break.
Going to Coachella to see Diplo.
I walked in the door to grab a latte. I paid $10, heard Ariana Grande. But then I saw him and his big dog. I felt my knees weak. Here came the brain fog. And though I'm not gay, you make me feel that way. I hope it never ends, my new Starbucks boyfriend. All my toes curl, all the feels come. My world of gold, you are my shining sun. We love to talk sports and swim in pools. You like the patio, I like the bar stools. And we spill tea and we throw shade. The other tables might think we're gay. I don't really care, I hope it never ends. You're my best Starbucks boyfriend.
How is your boyfriend?
He is out of town, and he has been out of town for a long time. We haven't seen each other in a minute. He actually texted me this morning. He said, I'm here, but I'm leaving. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh. He's got a house somewhere else, and then he goes to that house. His house here is being renovated. He doesn't want to live in a renovation.
Okay,
so he went up to his other house. Must be nice to have houses
wintering
with an S.
And summering.
Yeah, wintering and summering. But, you know, we've tried to connect. And I mean, we talk on text message and stuff like that. But I miss my Starbucks boyfriend. Yeah. He hasn't been around in a hot minute. And I kind of miss the guy. In other news, why is Andy Dick still alive? How is Andy Dick still alive?
What?
How is Andy Dick still alive?
Well, what do you mean?
He's on a tour, like, of doing all the podcasts. And I saw him on Howie Mandel's podcast.
You mean still
podcast.
Alive, like, alive as a career?
No, like, alive. Like, how did he get a career in the first place? And then how is he still alive? He is, like, one big ball of drugs. Yeah. Like, he's always just... you know, he's smoking crack. He was never my thing either. I got to be honest. The best thing that he did was news radio, and he wasn't all that great. You know, him and Joe Rogan kind of played, like, you know, dueling fiddles on that show. I liked the show a lot, but I liked the show because of Phil Hartman. And the story around Andy Dick, you know, Phil Hartman blamed Andy Dick for his wife's relapse when she was sober. And he blamed her because Phil Hartman at a Christmas party. This is the story. And I saw this on Howie Mandel, and Andy Dick was trying to kind of explain it away. But who knows? I mean, who knows what really happened? But it just doesn't make sense what Andy was saying. Phil Hartman has a Christmas party. Phil Hartman's wife has been sober for a couple of years. She had a terrible cocaine addiction, and she managed to sober herself up for a year or two. They had children, the Hartmans did. And they have a big Christmas party, and Andy Dick is invited or uninvited, but he shows up one way or the other. And Andy Dick is just kind of known to be someone who has drugs, that he's the drug guy. I mean, he always has been, really. And he's made no secret about it. That's like kind of the weird thing. And Phil Hartman's wife relapses at that party. She does cocaine, and then that causes a downward spiral. And of course, we all know how that ends, right? Tragically. And so, but during that period of time in between party and death, Phil blamed Andy, was really pissed because he said Andy was the one who propositioned his wife to do some drugs with him on that during that party. And so Andy's now like on this apology tour. He's like going around to all these podcasts, like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm sober. He's been on Bill Maher. I think he was on Conan O'Brien. He was on something else. And then he's on Howie Mandel. He's just going to all these places, and he's trying to, like, I guess, make amends. But the guy's been sober for like 3 days. So first of all, second of all, Andy Dick has never stayed sober for more than 3 days. I mean, I don't think it's going to last. But I just, like, I don't know. I think he's kind of like a squirrely weasel. I'm not a big fan of Andy Dick.
No,
I guess
I never was. And what is he, like, promoting something else? Is he still doing?
I guess he's promoting the fact that he's sober.
Okay.
I guess. I mean, kind of a weird thing. But everyone wants to talk to Andy Dick in the hopes that they're going to get the train wreck Andy Dick.
Yeah.
Right? And he's such an open book. I'll give him this. He's such an open book that he's always, like, you know, telling the story as the way that he recalls it. But he's willing to talk about it. He never is not willing to talk about it. The truth is, Andy Dick, just a year or two ago, we were talking about on this show, I think we reviewed one time, he was doing like a 24-hour day, 7-day a week live stream from an RV where he was living with like three other dope fiends.
Yeah.
And day after day after day, they were just driving around in this RV getting high on whatever substance they could find, crack, heroin, didn't matter. They were just doing it all. And he had this whole spiel, this whole stick going on where people would pay to yell at Andy through the live stream. They had like a speaker set up, and they would just yell obscene things at Andy at all times of day and night. So you paid a dollar and you'd be like, fuck you, Andy. And he was just like going on and on. It was like the weirdest kind of, I don't know, like, just absolute.
What?
I don't know. I don't get it. I never got it. But I guess when you're trying to, you know, survive, and this is the only way you know how. I mean, listen, I hope Andy gets sober, and I hope Andy has a redemption arc here. But at the end of the day, he just seems like kind of a dick to me, if I'm being honest. He seems like the kind of dick who would offer somebody drugs after they've been sober for a couple of years because Andy doesn't know any better. Because Andy's all fucked up himself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There you go. Oh, maybe he was on Two Bears, One Cave.
Okay. You heard it there.
You know, you know that Tom Segura and his wife are getting a divorce.
Oh,
did you hear about that?
I didn't hear that, no.
So, Al Franken, former senator, former SNL, a great senator, if you ask me. I mean, you know, he had some judgment calls there that weren't so great there at the end. Didn't he get like removed as a senator? He had to resign.
Yeah.
Because there was a picture of him during a comedy tour, like grabbing a woman's boobs.
Something like that.
Something like that when she was sleeping or something, or pretending like he was grabbing her boobs.
Yeah.
And then he had to resign. Okay. All right. Make your own judgment call on that. He said that this was the way that they joked, and that this was, you know, okay. And this woman came out.
Yeah, he got caught up in some of that first Me Too movement.
Yeah. AOC was on like one of the morning shows the other day, and she said, woke one was crazy.
Yeah.
Really, AOC? You were woke one. No, it's you. But okay, I don't want to talk about that. Okay, so So Al Franken is on Christine and Tom's podcast, because they have a podcast called Your Mama's House or something like that, Your Mom's House. And Al Franken is going at Tom. He's like, so you're always out on tour? And he's saying, yes. And he's like, and that is basically torture to your children. And Christine is nodding, like, you know, yes. And he's like, do you want to talk about that? Because that seems like the thing we need to talk about is how you're torturing your children going out on tour constantly, never being home. And Christine was like, not here, but in private, we have discussed it. And Tom is just looking like apoplectic. He's like, I can't believe we're having this conversation.
Yeah, I got it flipped on him.
Yeah. And Christine kind of like eggs a little bit. She's like, yeah, you know, it's really bad. It's really tough. It's been really hard on the family. And Tom looks at Christine and says, do you like your life? Do you like the way your life is going? Do you like the comfortability of your life? He's like a total snide fucking remark to her. And I think to myself, yeah, divorce is probably the best thing for these two.
And then it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening. And someone online pointed out, isn't that when you get to such a level of fame that Tom Segura is? I mean, you know, he owns his podcast network. He's got multiple podcasts that are in the top 100. He's movies, television, special after special after special. Probably a multimillionaire many times over. Isn't that like when you slow down a little bit and start making compromises for your family? Like, because you can. And I'm not here to judge Tom Segura's life choices.
Yeah,
like, maybe
be.
He just feels like, I got to get while the getting's good. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as a guy who travels for work, I hate that part of it. That part of it like kills me. That part where you're not there with your children is the worst part. At night, when you know you should, you know you could, you know you should be there with your children.
Well, you're a great parent, but not everybody is.
Well, that's true. That's true. Not everybody is a great parent, and mm-hmm. I'm not making a judgment call about Tom, you know. We have no reason to think Tom's not a great parent, but I can't imagine how that would be torture on a family to be on the road all the time. That's why when like people have approached us or me or you or whatever, and they're like, hey, you should do tours. And it's like, no, I shouldn't do tours. No, I shouldn't do
that. Oh, we tried that.
Yeah, we tried that. First of all. Second of all, God put a big tumor in my throat and said, no, not for you.
What was the beach?
What was that beach? The beach that was not quite Miami?
Yeah. Every time
it's
I hear
so
that.
Funny. Oh, my God. I can't remember.
I think of it.
Yeah, that not the improv at.
Yeah. Oh, God. Saka Beach, or it was like, God, I can't remember what it was.
Oh, I can't remember either. I can't remember. What was it?
Because we didn't know exactly how to say it.
Too. Yeah, we didn't. We never knew how to say it, and everyone got all pissed at us because we were saying it incorrectly.
Yeah.
And look it up. It's improv somewhere. It's like the improv at something beach. I bet our audience would remember what this was, probably because they bought tickets and we had
right,
to refund
exactly.
them money.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's like north of Miami. Anyway, we could never remember the name of the beach, but they said, you want to go play Miami? We said yes, and they sent us 40 miles north of Miami. Some like bedroom community. And I had like 38 family members that bought tickets to that. And the 2 days before we cancel it, because I have a tumor in my throat and I have to go have surgery. And but anytime I think with any degree of seriousness about going out and doing a string of shows, I think I don't want to be away from my family any more than I already am.
Right.
Like, I really don't.
Some people want to get away.
Yeah, I'm comfortable sitting here in the studio talking to no one. That feels good to me. I like that idea. I like the idea of no one fucking bothering me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's what I like. Plus, I don't know that I want to be in front of people and shaking hands and all that. I'm a little germophobic. We do knuckles, I guess, you know,
air hugs.
Mm-hmm. It's school time and our kids are already sick. Our kids are already sick. We only have
every time.
One child that is actually going to school on a regular basis right now. The other two are like, it's like a stagger step to the finish line here on the summer. And already sickness running through the house over the weekend. And I just thought to myself, here we go a fucking again.
It's Petri dishes. I mean.
It's the peach tree dishes.
It is.
The peach tree dishes.
Yes, it happens every school year. Jeez.
I wanted to tell you that I, over the weekend, had a conversation with an old friend of ours, Marlon.
Marlon.
Do you remember Marlon?
Of course, of course. All right.
A couple of things.
And in fact, I asked you a little while back, how is Marlon? You said, I haven't talked to him. I need to follow up.
I saw a Facebook post that caused me to give a text. That text led to multiple text messages back and forth,
gosh,
and then a short phone call while I was running. And I'd love to update you about that. I'd also say to you that maybe we'll do this next episode today. I'll put it together real quick. We have a couple Ask TCBs that are like 6 months old, and we never did them. And I feel kind of bad. We should do those because I think those are some of the those are the most fun. Is when we get to talk about your problems instead of everybody else's problems. Look at us today. We're just reviewing all of the terrible problems of everybody else. We can go into Ariana Grande. I went down a rabbit hole about Ariana Grande over the weekend, too. Oh, man. She's, I don't even know what to say. I don't want to talk about someone's looks. Like, I don't want to assume anything. But wow.
You know, I said this because it was some award show, and I was like, whoa. I mean, that does not look right.
She's taking a step back. Her Jelly Roll, and then someone else, I can't remember, there's a third one. They're saying that they're leaving the industry. They're taking a step back from the industry for a period of time. Ariana Grande, understandably, she says this is a long planned break because the scrutiny is high. Jelly Roll is getting a divorce.
She works just like this constantly. Yeah.
You know, my kids started watching this show like Cat and something. You know what I'm talking about?
It's the Disney one?
The Disney one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was on, right?
Yeah. Or it was Nickelodeon. Now Disney's running it. I don't know how it all goes, but because they own whatever. Anyway, my kids started watching the show and I'm just like walking in and out of the room, blah, 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 blah. And then there's this weird girl on the show making a weird voice and doing like weird affectation. And I go, oh, man, that looks like Ariana Grande. And Astrid goes, that is Ariana Grande. And I said, oh, no. She goes, yeah, this is how she started. There was another show before this. And then she did this show. And then that's kind of how she went in. And then she did albums. And and I was like, wow, you know, this kind of like very high baby voice that she was doing on this particular show was a little like unnerving to me. But, you know, I watched the show. It's relatively harmless, but it's just a little weird. And it was produced by that guy. The guy that they did that whole documentary about, remember the like creepy guy who was like not being great with the kids?
Oh, yeah, exactly. The whole Nickelodeon thing.
He actually, something Schneider, was it? I don't know. I don't know who it was. But he was the guy who produced that show. So anyway, so Ariana Grande puts out a new video a couple of weeks ago, and everybody is like aghast because you can see her bones in her chest.
Watch that. Yeah.
And listen, everyone's different and every body is different and everybody's body is different. Mm-hmm. And so you can't say with the degree of certainty, unless you're inside somebody's skin, what's going on with them. Could be sickness, could be diet, could be other things, could be nothing. Could just be that that's just who she is. That's just her frame. But as a guy who's dated someone with a very serious eating disorder, It looks similar, but I don't know. But I like Ariana Grande. Mm-hmm. There's the difference. I like Ariana Grande. I hope, you know, not Andy Dick, but Ariana Grande. I like her. And so I hope that she gets, I hope this two, you know, whatever, however long she says she's taking off, I hope it gives her some peace
and solitude.
She needs
a break, I think.
Absolutely.
God, she's been engaged too quite a few times.
Yeah, she was like engaged to the guy she did Wicked with, and then she was engaged to another guy, and then she was engaged
to Davidson.
Pete Davidson, and then she dated Mac Miller, who overdosed and died. Like, and she had that terrible concert incident that happened in London where 18 kids died and 1,000 were injured. I mean, take a break. You deserve it, kid.
Exactly.
Yeah. Take a break. You deserve it. Wicked 1, Wicked 2, great movies. Mm-hmm. We'll be okay for a while. Like, we don't need another album or another Wicked. Anyway, that's Brian's advice as your new manager, Ariana. Take a break. Jelly Roll, take a break forever. I'm good with that. That's okay with me. I don't understand how some people get famous. I just don't. I mean, seems like a nice enough guy-ish. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like something seems insincere. Yeah, he has the hits, but then I'm watching him like live doing these like live dates with what's his name? The other guy with all the tattoos.
Post Malone.
Mm-hmm. I'm watching him. They do all these dates. They had to cancel a couple of them because I don't think they were selling well. But I'm watching him and I don't see anything super spectacular happening on stage. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. I guess if you're a huge Jelly Roll fan, it's great to see him come out and do the hits. But I was not all that impressed. Now, that's coming from a guy who won't even go to, you know, Delray Beach or whatever right. and stand out in front of 15 people. But so I'm clearly Monday morning quarterbacking. But I do have to say, I didn't feel like that was a super impressive live performance. I wasn't feeling it, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes overexposure is a thing. You just got to back off it a little bit.
Yeah, he went out hard and fast. I mean, well, he had that story, you know, rags to riches, jail to success. And so,
porn star to wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then apparently there was some infidelity and mm-hmm. now they're breaking apart. And yeah, I think that's a good time to take a break. Like when you're getting a divorce, that's a good time to take a break.
Yeah.
Tom and Christine, Jelly Roll, whoever his wife is, Ariana Grande, and whoever she broke up with recently, the guy from Wicked. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody take a break. It's all good. We're all going to be here when you get back. Do you know what I'm saying? Or some of us will still be here when we get back. I might not be, but everybody else will be. All right, let's take a break. I'll tell you about Marlins.
Let's take a break.
Let's us take a break.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't find it either. They changed it to maybe they changed the name to the Miami Improv now because that's what it says. But there was no Miami Improv 2 years ago when we were going to do this. So I think they may have changed the name. But it's clearly not in Miami. It's up north. Or maybe the place closed. I don't know. But we would talk to all these comedians who would be like, that place is great.
Yeah,
you're going to love it.
We're on the circuit.
People were on the circuit. They loved it. Because the Improv is like, you know, it's a whole series of comedy clubs that are owned all throughout the country. So Marlon, for those of you who are not up to date on Marlon, let me give you a very brief summary because it's a very long story. There's like 16 episodes dedicated to this.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, you can go check it out. Marlon is a friend of mine who went on a website and found a woman that he wanted to date. It's like kind of like a sugar mama website, right? Okay. He finds this woman who is clearly much older than he is. What was she, like 68 or something? Mm-hmm. Getting close to her 70s. And Marlon is in his 40s. So there's like a 25, 30-year age difference between the two of them. And he goes on some dates with her, and she is very demanding. I mean, very demanding. She's very demanding in bed. She's very demanding. She wants what she wants.
Didn't she send like the Porsche?
She sent a Porsche to his house
for him to pick her up. Yeah.
Because she didn't want to be picked up in his, like, you know, Toyota Tundra or whatever the fuck he was driving, like his Celica. She didn't want that. She wanted to go out in style, and she was willing to kind of supplement his lifestyle so that she got what she wanted. And I mean, this went on and
lavish vacations.
That's right. Cars, they went down to hedonism. Trips. They went down to hedonism.
Did they go to like some ski town in the Alps or something?
Yes. They went to Europe. They went to the French Pyrenees or whatever. Yes. This was like a sweet situation for Marlon, but he was having a little bit of a hard time when it came to the bedroom, right? He really liked her. He was actually getting into her. I think emotionally he was starting to get a little wrapped up in the idea of having this like kind of mom figure slash lover. Don't ask. It's Oedipus complex. I don't know. I don't want to get into all the machinations. That's not for this show. But he was getting into it, but he couldn't quite get into the bedroom scene of it.
Yeah.
So I think at one point they even brought another woman into the down in hedonism or something. Mm-hmm. They brought another woman into the bed. Okay, so this whole thing goes, and when she gets him into bed, it's the same type of demanding, right? She wants what she wants, and she don't give no shits about what he wants. So it's like doubly hard for him. It's not hard for him, pun intended. He's got his half hard. He's working it as the best that he could. This guy is wrapped up in this weird world of being taken care of financially by this woman who is also kind of bitchy. Let's put it that way, right? She was very demanding. Now, it came to a head when Marlon had been feeding us all of this information. And Marlon is not his real name, by the way, obviously.
Right.
Been feeding us all this information. And we believe that the woman found out and wrote us a letter one time. And we read it here on air. And then we didn't hear from Marlon again for a long time. I heard from him, but I stopped talking about it at the request of Marlon.
Yes.
I stopped. Okay. So it's been a couple of months or more than a couple of months. It's almost been a year, I think. And I say, hey, buddy, I saw a Facebook post he made. I said, hey, buddy, what's going on? You know, just checking in. And that then we sent a series of messages. So him and this woman, let's call her Evelyn. It's not her name, but let's call her Evelyn. Him and Evelyn eventually broke up.
Right.
If you remember, she then was at a bar with another man, another young man, and
yes.
He and Marlon got very upset at the sight of this. He was like, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
This was like weeks after they broke up too. It wasn't like, 5 months after they broke up. It was just a couple of weeks. So Marlon got very upset. So this back and forth that went on, and then eventually they split. But then this summer, Marlon gets invited to a yacht party down in the Miami area.
Okay.
He gets invited to go on a yacht. They're going to go out to the, it's like a weekend thing. If you've ever been there, like the Bay of Miami becomes like this, there's hundreds of yachts that are just sitting out there parked. I've actually done this. I remember when I went on a yacht one time and my kids spilled red juice all over, grape juice all over somebody's yacht. Yeah, that's where
all
we were.
The white carpet.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. By the way, they sold that yacht.
Oh.
Probably because they couldn't get the stains out of the wall from my kids spilling grape juice all over the white leather walls. Anywho, Marlon gets invited to a yacht party. It's him and like 20 other people. They go out in the yacht. They go to the Bay of Miami. They're there. And he tells me they're floating out on this big inflatable mat, right? And everybody has these things.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine like a yoga mat, but you put it out behind your boat and mm-hmm. it's like 70 times the size of a yoga mat. So that when you're out in the water, you have a place to just kind of like lay and chill and be cool. He's out on this mat and he's telling me, I have a cold one in my hand and I'm just chilling. I got my sunglasses on. I'm just like laying there. It's middle of the day. And I hear the unmistakable voice of Evelyn.
Oh.
And there is a boat that's like passing by 20 yards. And she's like yelling down, hey, Marlon, uh-huh. Hey, Marlon. So this is like the beginning of the summer, right? So he explains to me that then that led to them texting each other. That
reconnection.
Like a little rekindling of the romance, but Marlon is still in the same place he was before mentally and emotionally. And that is, he's having a hard time getting it up. That's just based. Let's say it like we're saying it
with her.
So she has him go to one of these doctors, right? A ro.co type doctor.
Okay.
Like, so now the romance is rekindled. She's got a solution. And mm-hmm. I think she also offered this last time too. But okay, so she rekindles the romance. They rekindle the romance. She offers this solution. She's willing to pay for it. She wants him to go to the best ED doctor in all of South Florida, like this guy. So Marlon's
pop a pill.
Yeah, so Marlon's explaining to me that he has to go physically to a location. He's like, okay, I'm going to give this a try, right? Because I think I care for this woman. Clearly, she's funding a lifestyle that I like. Like, I mean, there's a lot of benefits, and he's single, and, he's getting up there, and he's just like, why not? Let's go do this.
Yeah, let's give it another go.
Yeah. So he's explaining to me, shows up at one of these shiny buildings in Brickell or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he parks the car, And he goes upstairs, and it's like this huge glass, beautiful office. And he walks in, and he says, this place is stacked with nurses that are like 22 years old, all of them gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, like, it's Miami.
It's Miami, right? The doctor knows what he's doing. He's if you get a chubby while you're at the office, then you'll have considered the job done. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like half the magic is right there. So he's helping the situation along. So he says, I check in. I'm like red faced. I can't believe I'm here. You know, you have to like in detail describe what's going on these pieces of paper, fills it out. And then like he can see the girl with the clipboard, like typing it all in. It's like, dude, I've never been so mortified in my life. And I'm like, it happens, you know, whatever. It's happens. Yeah. Like, who cares? And he's like, yeah, you say that in front of a perfect 10 who's like, you know, like giggling, you know, like giggling while she's doing this. And I'm like, okay, all right, whatever. So he gets called back and the doctor's like, hey, you know, first there's a nurse and he's got to go through the whole thing, right? And he says, it's like another, you know, 9 out of 10, it's all nurse. And she says, don't worry, he's the best in town. He's going to get you right fixed up. There's a lot of different things that we can do. So the doctor comes in. Doctor says, hey, what? Tell me what's going on. Well, you know, I have this lover and this, and he goes, oh, I know Evelyn. And
she sends all of her guys to me.
And Marlon goes, how do you know Evelyn? He goes, oh, well, we've been friendly for a long time. She's actually, you know, referred a couple of customers. Yeah. Exactly. That's a couple of clients, a couple of patients. And I'm like, oh, and he goes, I instantaneously think this is a bad idea, but I'm just, now I'm here.
You're in it.
You're in it now, right? He's like insanely freaked out by that thing. But the doctor is like, okay, listen, this is in your head, right? This is in your head. You know, because Marlon explains, I'm not normally, like, I can go home and get a hard-on.
Right.
I just can't do it with Evelyn, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's like my whole mind is blocked out. Then she's, like, barking orders at me. The whole thing just turns me off. Yeah. And so the doctor said, listen, this is all in your head, but physiologically, you're fine. So what we need to do is we need to get you to a point physiologically so that your head can follow. And he's like, you know, unfortunately, we have a few things that we can give you to kind of stir your mind, but we haven't really gotten scientifically to that point yet where we can just like increase your hormones.
Desire, yeah.
Right. So the doctor then says, I've got a perfect situation for you. We can give you a series of shots that you can take 10 or 15 minutes before you. And Marlon's like, okay, don't love needles, but I guess we can do that. But the guy was saying, the doctor, this is the way Marlon said it to me. I knew these things existed in like porn movies, but I didn't know they existed in real life. He wasn't talking about a shot in the butt or a shot in the thigh. He was talking about a shot in the fucking penis.
I've heard of that.
That is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, and Marlon's like, no, I'm just not doing that, mm-hmm. right? I'm not doing that. I can't do that. I won't do that. Like, I can't do needles. And the doctor says, okay, well, let me give you the next best thing. We combine all of the different medications, like Sildenafil, Viagra, whatever the other one is. Uh-huh. We combine all of them into a throat lozenge that you put under your tongue 10 or 15 minutes, and it should theoretically have the same effect. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
So Marlon says, okay, that one, right? The one I can put in my mouth, not in my dick.
Right.
All right. Okay. I'll take that. He prescribes it. He's got to send it to like a compounding pharmacy. He's got to have it like, you know, he's got to have it delivered to his front door. So Marlon gets it. Couple nights later, they meet up and he's like, okay, gonna give this a try. So they're at dinner and he goes to excuse himself to the bathroom and he puts this lozenge in. He said it's the most incredibly disgusting thing you've ever tasted.
Can't even make it taste.
No, it's like a medicine-y, weird cherry, sour flavor.
Yeah.
He said, I almost wanted to gag. He goes, but I quickly, like, it's a thing you're supposed to just let dissolve under your tongue. But after like 5 minutes in the bathroom, it's still not even close to dissolve. So he chews it. He sticks it back under his tongue. He's trying to like get it to hurry up. So eventually he gets this thing dissolved. He explained that he was in the bathroom for like 15 minutes waiting for this thing. He's like in a stall waiting for it to dissolve.
In a stall?
Yeah. He said, last time I was in a stall doing drugs, they were way more fun than this. And it happened much quicker.
Why was he in a stall?
I think he was trying to like... He knew that they
outside,
were
outside, like out of the home.
They were in a restaurant.
Oh, okay.
They were in a restaurant.
Okay.
They were eating, and he knew that they were on their way home. Uh-huh. Like they were getting ready to wrap up, and he wanted to be prepared. And the doctor said 15 to 20 minutes before you're getting ready to do this, right? So Marlon explains to me that he waits, it dissolves, he washes his hands, he is walking to the table. And he starts getting a He said, dude, this worked so fucking quick. I had no idea. And he's like, it was like 15 to 20 minutes since I began the process of taking it. And the doctor said 15 to 20 minutes. He said, but I thought it would like
take that long to kick in after it dissolved.
Right. Or you would have to think about something sexual before you would just all of a sudden go hard, right? And he's like, no, I'm walking to the table and all of a sudden I'm like having to like kind of scoot along because I'm starting to get this chubby and it's starting to make my pants go up. He's like, so I quickly shuffle over to the table and I sit down and he goes, and at this point I'm like full hard on, full erection. And he's really nervous because they're at a restaurant and he senses that, you know, if he stands up, people are going to notice.
Yeah.
He told me it was like being back in fourth grade.
Oh, God.
Being back in fourth grade and you get called to the chalkboard and you're just having one of those random boners that defies logic.
I've heard of this. Yes.
Math is not sexy, but, you know, sometimes during math class, you just find yourself with a hard on. He told me that it was like one of the most terrifying. So he leans over and he tells Evelyn, he said, you know, I went to that doctor. He prescribed a medication. I told you that. I took the medication in the bathroom. And now I'm like,
it's worked.
Yeah. And she's like, well, let's go. And he's like, no. You don't understand. Like I'm erect right now. I don't want to get up. And she goes, well, don't worry. No one's going to notice. And he's like, no. I'm a little embarrassed. I'm a little self-conscious about this. He says his pants are kind of tight. So she hands him her like oversized purse.
Okay, that's what I was
thinking. And Marlon is walking out of this restaurant
holding
this oversized purse to his penis while he's walking out. And as he's walking out of the door, you know, the hostess comes running to hold the door for him. And she goes, oh, that's so sweet of you to hold
her
a
back.
Purse. And he's like, yeah. If you only knew. He said they got in the car and she was like driving like a bat out of hell just to get home. And then they get home and, you know, she's been like talking sexy, you know, kind of talking it up.
Yeah.
I think she's trying to keep the momentum mm-hmm. going. And they get to the bedroom and she starts barking orders as she always had. And all of a sudden it goes away.
Oh, God.
Like now he had this instance of pop and then it's, you know, now we're 30, 40 minutes later, it's gone. And he said that, you know, he had to kind of service her and then it kind of got chubby. It didn't really work. So they go to bed and, you know, the little disappointment on both ends, they go to bed and an hour into sleeping, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, he wakes up just like raging. And he wakes her up and he's like, now,
yeah, let's
go now. And she played game and she played. And he said it was like some of the most wonderful lovemaking he'd ever had, that he was really into it. He's like, now that we've like finally codified the relationship without a lot of drama or head. He's like, something just left my head. He's like, once I was there physically, something left my head. And all of a sudden I was like wrapped up into this moment. He was like, and it was incredible. And we had a great time. So the story continues, Evelyn and Marlon back on after being off and on and off again. And I said, hey, I go, listen, you know, I have to give the listeners an update because I haven't talked about this in like 2 years.
Yo, it's been a while.
And it's one of those things that people do still ask about. They ask about Marlon. And he said, okay, but, you know, could you leave out some of the more graphic details? And I said, no, the whole comedy is in the graphic details.
Exactly.
No one knows who you are.
No.
And he said she has long since forgotten about the commercial break period of their life. And he was like, all right, this story. But I'm not regaling you with every story that I have.
No, this was the update.
Yeah. And I go, hey, once a month, just check in because the listeners want to check in.
Yes, I want to know.
I want to know. I'm living vicariously through Marlon and his... Go Marlon. Marlon did the deed.
He did. Okay.
He did. Congratulations.
Well, I bet
Marlon.
It is a whole thing too in your head of like, well, first of all, there wasn't the complete full attraction there, but then also too, then you start getting in your head about getting in your head, right?
Yes.
It's gotta be.
I think so. I'm, you know, luckily, 99% of the time that I've been in love-making mood, I've been into whatever's going on.
Sure.
Right? I mean, of course, you're married, you're with someone for a long time. Sometimes you're not in the mood, but they are, but then you do it because that's the way you do things,
yes.
Right? That's how it happens. But eventually I get there. Eventually I'm fine. Eventually I'm into it too. So I don't know, but I can see, I've of course been in my head at times about certain things. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. But, you know, he got it so stuck in his head
right.
that his body just wouldn't follow. Like any time that his mind started revving up, his body went limp. Mm. And so...
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. I like
congratulations.
This update.
I do too. It's a good one. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. It's a good one. I like when love prevails. I don't know. I can see these two going the distance. I can see being in a wedding. A wedding with Marlon and Evelyn. I don't think I'm going to be invited, but I could see a wedding. But she doesn't want to get married again.
Well,
she's like,
no. Yeah, I remember that from the other update.
She was a successful businesswoman herself, but she got a good chunk of her financial stability came from a husband that she had had. So, you know, she seems to be doing okay for herself. And Marlon wants me to tell, I think Marlon wants this part of the story underlined. Marlon works. And Marlon takes care for himself.
Okay, that's good.
Marlon is an independently financial young man.
Yeah.
He is not relying on her.
He's on a yacht in Miami.
He's on a yacht in Miami.
Yes.
But I think when you live in Miami, that's not that.
Right.
It's not particularly
just part of things.
Yeah, everybody owns a yacht in Miami. It's like they have dealership, you know, like buy here, pay here. They have yacht dealerships like that in Miami. Buy here, pay here. You know. So anyway, congratulations, Marlon.
Congrats.
Love you, brother. Give us an update as soon as one's available. I'd love to hear about the misadventures of your misspent aging girlfriend.
Yes.
I think she's like 70 now.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think she was like 68 when we were, whatever. Anyway, good for him. Good for him. Good for her. Good for you and me. At the commercial break on Instagram, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for all the live streaming and the videos. We'll be back in just a few minutes to do another one, so stay tuned. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for now.
I think so.
Tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast and streaming universe. We'll see you in a few minutes. Until next time, we will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.
Get ass.